The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus proposed another parable to the crowd, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat, and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from?' He answered, 'An enemy has done this.' His slaves said to him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' He replied, 'No. If you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.' He proposed another parable to them. 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all the seeds. Yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches.' He spoke to them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet, I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what is lain hidden from the foundation of the world.' Then dismissing the crowds, he went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He said in reply, 'He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. The enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where they will be wailing and grinding of teeth. And the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Wonder if at 5 o'clock this evening I were to tell you, if you were to come to the parking lot on my right and just shake my hand, I would give you a new Maserati. Worth about $250,000, 2018. I think most of you would come. What would happen at 5 o'clock in the morning? I told you, whoever goes to Zorba Linda in a certain area, certain street, arrive at that house, I would give you the keys to a $2 million house. Would you go to Zorba Linda? Hello? What would happen if I said, well, 3 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday, if you would just shake my hand, I would give you $5 billion. Everything I've said, okay, the value of one fervent Hail Mary is worth more than all of those. Do you believe it?
Yes.
The value of one Hail Mary is worth more than all those material commodities that I've just exposed you in an imaginary dream, okay? Second reading, I'm going to speak on that today. Prayer. Prayer is so, so important. Prayer is so important. Our salvation depends on that one thing, learning how to pray well. All those who are condemned to hell are there for one reason. They did not pray or prayed poorly. All of those in heaven, all the saints in heaven are there for one reason. They learned how to pray, and they did it. Now, being a teacher, I can teach you how to pray. I can. I could give you a long hour homily on prayer. I could do that. I can teach you to pray. But I cannot give you the desire to pray. That I can't. There's a difference. I can teach you how to pray. Therefore, I could engrave in your mind up here the whole art of prayer in your mind, in your memory bank. Okay, this computer archives that we might call it. Okay. But giving you the desire to pray, I can't. So I'm going to be begging you all today, beg for the desire to pray. Even if it's just for 1 minute. I'm going to tell you one of the greatest gifts I received in my life is this. And it's a pure gift of God. I've always liked to pray. When I was 7 or 8 years old, I liked to pray. Thanks to good parents. Okay? They instilled the seed of the Word of God and prayer within my heart. And then, thanks be to God, maybe someone else prayed for me. I always liked to pray. I was 13 or 14, I'd walk 2 miles to school, I'd say 2 or 3 rosaries when I was a teenager walking to school. I mean, that's pretty unique. Pretty unique. So I've always had the desire to pray. Now, if you don't have the desire to pray, you can have it today if you ask. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open. Whoever asks, receives. Whoever seeks, finds. Whoever knocks, the door will be open. Hey, Matthew 7:7, huh? Matthew 7:7. God wants to give you the desire to pray more than you want to receive it. But you've got to beg for it. Okay, now, on prayer, I'm going to give you just a couple tips. When I made my first communion, I think it was in the year 63 or 64, many years ago, I have to admit, I have a pretty good memory. I remember I received 2 gifts in my first communion. Now I'll tell you what they were. First was, I think it was the first time in my life I went out to what is called a restaurant. And I had pancakes and bacon. Oh! Ah. Like your kids today, you take them out to the restaurant every other week or every week. Years ago, that was considered a luxury, at least 50 years ago when I was brought up in rags. Even though my parents weren't poor, it was considered a real treat. I'll never forget that. But more important than the pancakes and bacon is my mom and dad bought me a prayer book for my first communion. And I treasure that. I treasured it. Last year I was talking with my mom and she showed me her first communion book, which is about 80 years old. She still has it. Now, I was always a pretty good student, especially at reading, not too much in math, but a pretty good reader, precocious reader. So I would go up to my room and close the door, and I would kneel down, and I'd just open up the book, and I'd read the prayers. Our Father, Hail Mary, Act of Faith, Act of Hope, Act of Charity, Act of Contrition, Prayer to St. Anthony, Prayer to St. Francis, the Litany of the Saints, the Litany of the Blessed Mother, Anima Christi, the Prayer Before the Crucifix. Remember those prayers? I would just pray them. The book was probably 100 pages. And really beautiful pictures, and I would just be praying them. And sometimes 3 minutes, another times 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. I think every parent, Catholic parent in the universe should do that. And if the kids know how to read, hey, you got it. You got it. Reading prayers, vocal prayer, Teresa of Avila says, is the first mansion. Nothing wrong with that. Now, Teresa of Avila says saying a vocal prayer can catapult you up to the highest form of prayer, transforming union by praying the Our Father. Teresa of Avila, just by praying a vocal prayer. Praying a vocal prayer. So I really insist that every parent here should buy all of your children a good prayer book. Even if your children are 39 years old. Really, a good prayer book is a treasure. Now this among the Hispanics, but this is translated into English, would be as called Los 15 Minutos con Dios. Some of you speak Spanish here? Los 15 Minutos con Dios. It's called the 15 minutes with God. That's a treasure. We have it in the St. Peter Chanel prayer book that we published about 12 years ago. You know what that is? It's a prayer book, but praying especially in front of the Blessed Sacrament. So every time you come to Mass, Sunday or weekdays, come 5-7 minutes early. And the 15 minutos is basically this. Jesus asks you a question. What is your name? Like Marcelina Panavino. Okay? What is your name? Okay, where do you live? How do you feel? And then you talk. What's on your mind? Then you talk. Something worrying you? Then you talk. What do you desire? Then you talk. What's oppressing you? Then you talk. What are your dreams? Then you talk. What are your fears? Then you talk. What are your worries? Then you talk. Are you happy? Talk. Are you sad? Talk. And why? That is a spiritual masterpiece. And it leads you into really deep union with God. I think all of you here have the potentiality to be great prayer warriors. You just have to do it. And someone has to motivate you, what I'm trying to do this morning. Right now, I've left an 8-day retreat because we're short priests. Right after this, I'm going up to Alhambra, basically motivating these 65 people to pray, pray, pray. Your prayers, you're going to be sanctifying yourself, your family, and the whole world. Prayer is the key to salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Two other short bits of advice. We are on vacation. Your children on vacation. When you can, come to Mass on a daily basis. Amen? Come to daily Mass. Because I would be remiss if I did not say that the greatest prayer in the whole universe is what we're doing now. This is Opus Dei. Our prayer is our work in collaboration with God. Prayer is the work of God Himself. So, parents, bring your children to daily Mass. Explain to them the Mass is so important. You know, I've told you this in my daily Mass more than once. My mother has traveled 25, 30 miles in 5 degrees to go to daily Mass. My mom's 86 years old. How many of you have to travel 40 miles to go to daily Mass here in LA? None of you. Tomorrow we celebrate Saint Charbel Maclouf, who was a Maronite monk. He purposely wanted to say the Mass at 12 noon so he could spend the whole morning preparing for the Mass, the whole afternoon and evening giving thanks for Mass. The Mass is the very center of his life. Hopefully it's yours too. All theology has to direct us to the Mass. Right, Paul? All theology has to direct us to the Mass, which is the greatest, greatest prayer in the universe. And finally, you know what I'm going to say? We also have to pray the rosary. We have to pray the rosary. We're in the 100th anniversary of the apparition of Our Lady of Fatima. May 13th, Pope Francis canonized Francis and Jacinta. Our Lady said 6 times, pray the rosary, pray the rosary, pray the rosary, pray the rosary, pray the rosary. What more do you want? Mary's the queen of the universe and she's our mother. Now, when should you pray the rosary? You can pray at any time. But I strongly encourage you to pray the rosary right before dinner, okay? Not after. Right before dinner. So I would suggest 6 o'clock, more or less, pray a 15-minute rosary, and then you have dinner. But you have to do it day after day after day after day after day. How do we form good habits? By repeating them. What is a virtue? A good habit. What is a vice? A bad habit. So just get in the habit of praying the rosary day after day after day after day after day. I believe that this is the most important topic that we can preach on as priests, is prayer. So I invite all of you, spend at least 1 minute today. At least 1 minute. And in that 1 minute, ask the Holy Spirit, give me the desire to pray. Amen.